Okay, hello everyone and welcome to our talk today. Yeah, so today we're going to talk about real-time analytics application with Apache Pinot and Apache Pulsar and Pinot. So here today too is myself. I'm Mary Grigleski. I'm a streaming developer advocate at DataStax. A company's actually primarily doing Apache Cassandra up to this point, and now we're going to be doing more Apache Pulsar, and it's a streaming event streaming platform that's kind of optimized for the cloud-native platform. I'm based in Chicago. I'm also Java champion and president of Chicago Java Users Group too, and blah, 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 all these things. I was a developer before too, just so you know, mostly in Java. So now we have Mark. So we'll have Mark introduce.
Hello, and I do realize, Javier, that we've stolen your intro section. So we've gone straight in. So yeah, hi, I'm Mark. I work at Startree. We do Apache Pinot. I'm a developer advocate there. And so, yeah, like we kind of had on the first slide, we're going to be showing you how to build a real-time like analytics dashboard with Pulsar, Pinot, and then a Python dashboard library called Streamlit. So we're going to see, yeah, half the talk will be that. And we're going to see how well does the Wi-Fi survive our attempts to use live data. So let's see. Let's hope the demo gods are in the room. So I guess first things to start with is to define, like, what exactly does this mean? What is real-time analytics? So we've seen lots of talks, right, showing streaming data. So obviously that's like a big part of it. But the real-time analytics bit is kind of this bit in highlighted. So the goal is we're trying to provide insights to make decisions quickly. And I guess the most important bit is that far side. So, like, it's cool that we've got the data, like, we can capture our IoT data, we can capture, like, orders coming from a website, we can capture the logs, but we want to do something with it. And so if we move on from the definition, like, all the talks we've seen so far, they focus on events, right? We've got events representing stuff. So someone is purchasing something, someone wants to do as a search query, someone is taking a taxi ride, like we've seen in Javier's talk. And those events are cool in their own right, but we really want to get some insights from them. Like, what can we do? Like, and eventually that leads to, okay, we've got some insight and we do something as a result of knowing that this is happening. So, like, say we know someone is searching for a pizza. Okay, let's get a pizza shop in front of them if we're doing, like, Google adverts. If someone's then going in and buying the pizza, okay, let's show them in real time what are the things that people have also been buying along with that pizza or that hamburger that we can suggest, like, in the flow. So we want to, like, try and react to those events coming in. So we've seen, like, lots of tools. We've seen Beam, we've seen Flink. We've seen, like, lots of tools for getting the streaming data, but we want to do something with that data. Like, that's the whole purpose, I guess, of all the applications that we're building. And in the real-time analytics space, like, this is, like, you imagine the value of data over time in this world where we're trying to do something with that streaming data. The value of that data goes down over time. So if we know, like, today, like, hey, you made an order and something's gone wrong with it, I can, like, try and do something to make you happy, like give you a voucher or call you up and try and fix it. If I find out, like, when I, like, batch process that tomorrow, it's like, oh, well, you already hate me, so it's too late. And so we're kind of focused on the left side of this diagram. So in terms of real-time analytics, we want the data, like, close to when it's coming in. Maybe not exactly, like, not exactly like when it comes in, but, like, in the time just after that. That's the kind of region that we're living. And there can be lots of people who are interested in this data. So it could be the analysts inside a company. So maybe it's people like analyze, yeah, in our imaginary pizza shop, like they're actually like running the operations for the pizza shop. It might be the management. They're like, hey, I want to know what's going on now. What's the revenue that we're seeing like right now, like or in the last 10 minutes or whatever it is. And it could be the users. And so that's kind of the interesting thing that's sort of changed, I guess, from doing traditional analytics to doing this real-time stuff is that the data is almost coming back. The users are creating the data, and then we're feeding it back to them in terms of products that they can then use. I guess that's more or less what I wanted to say. And so when we're building these applications, there are kind of, I mean, they're not strictly like this, but there's sort of four obvious quadrants of applications that people build. So they go along, two axes. So we've got human-facing and machine-facing along the Y, and then internal and external on the X. So if we go in the top side, that would be like the observability area. And actually, a lot of the time series querying would be in there. And this would be sort of the area of like Datadog. So hey, like I want to get the metric. I've got like all this telemetry data coming in, and I want to know what's going on. Like what's going on in my AWS cluster? What's happening like with all my Lambda functions? Like are there any that are suddenly really slow? Like can I figure that out? And maybe there's a machine that's actually interpreting that data rather than a human is looking at it and going, oh, yeah, it's that one Lambda function there that's really slow. We'll probably be feeding it into like some other tool that's figuring it out. If we come down here, so this is where we're going to be today. So imagine this is a dashboard, and obviously I'm sure you've seen loads of dashboards. You've probably seen Tableau, you've seen loads of BI tools, and with a lot of them, the data that you're using is maybe like yesterday's data. And so what we're going to show you today is how could you build one that is like updating as new data is coming in. If we come up to the top left, this is now the machine is processing the data, but it's for the users. So this would be like how Javier was talking. So we've got like the fraud detection system. So the data's coming in, it's being processed by something, and then I'm seeing the result. But maybe I'm not going and working out like with my own query. Oh, look, I wrote this really, really clever query. Here's the thing. Maybe there's some pre-processing happening by some sort of machine learning algorithm. And then if we come down into the bottom corner, it'd be some sort of external service. It could be, yeah, like in our pizza example, like an order tracking service. Like, you know how on your phone you order something from, I don't know, what's this food delivery service here, Just Eats maybe. You see like, hey, look, I can see exactly where it is, how far away is it, why on earth has the driver gone the wrong way to my house? You can see all that sort of information. Maybe too much. Maybe they should just show you, yeah, it's always coming towards your house. It never went like the absolute opposite way and got to your house an hour later. So just to show you some real-world examples of where this is used. So LinkedIn is one. So the who viewed your profile. I guess most of you have probably seen this, and you see like, I guess for people spying on you, and if you can kind of see like all the people that look to you, and it's very up to date, right? Like if I went and viewed one of your profile pages, you would see it straight away. Like, hey, look, Mark looks at it. Use for that would be, hey, maybe someone is in, like, I guess it's often recruiters, right? You're like, oh, I wonder why that person is following me. Maybe I'm going to contact them. So it's almost like, is there a real-time way of, like, interacting with someone? Like, I don't know if you wanted to collaborate with them on something, or, yeah, I guess, like, if they got a job that's available. They use it in the newsfeed as well. So I guess here it's similar to what you would see in, I guess, in Facebook, I guess even in TikTok, and those sort of tools. The goal is, can I make you interact with this product more? Like, they want you to stay on it, so they need to show you what is happening now so that you're going to stay on it and not, yeah, I guess not go away and do something else, which potentially is more useful, but they want you to stay on there. And then, yeah, for LinkedIn, like this one's, I guess this one's like a little bit of a smaller user base, but yeah, for the recruiters, they can see like, okay, what are the trends of what is happening in terms of what jobs are available, what places those are in the world, and so on. And then Uber Eats, let's do one more example. So Uber Eats is another one. So this one's kind of like what I was saying. So they've got this is very much a dashboard approach, and this is for a restaurant managers if they were hosting the restaurant on there. And you can see like the things that are interesting are they would get like missed orders. So hey, we've made a mess of this order. Can we fix it? Like now, rather than waiting till tomorrow. We've got this order that's gone wrong. Can we go and fix it? It's almost like you're able to achieve like the customer service that you are in a restaurant, where you can kind of see like with your eyes, okay, these people look really angry with me. It's like, hey, look, the data is being shown. It's almost giving you the equivalent of the in the restaurant experience without being in the restaurant. Okay, so how do we go about? So those are some examples of people who have built those things. And there are way more of them. Those are just some ones that are picked out. But how do we build that? So there are some properties that we need to achieve. And some of these Javier was talking about in his talk. So first one is we want to be able to get the data in quickly. Where it is in these applications, it's generally coming from a streaming data platform of some sort. So in our talk, it's going to be Pulsar. And we need to be able to get the data into Pulsar and then into like wherever we want to get it to query it. In this case, into Pino, we need to get it in there very, very quickly. Once it's in there, we want to be able to query it very quickly as well. So one way of thinking about it is, in these applications, we want to do OLTP type queries, like query speeds on OLAP data. So we want to be querying everything, but getting like the results in like imagine like a refresh on a web page or like on a page on a mobile app. So I don't want to be sitting there waiting for 5 or 10 seconds for the results, right? That particular requirement is a lot more the case when it's an external user, right? Like if it's inside a company, you can say, oh, it's fine, you can just go and get a coffee and wait for the results. But if it's outside, you're not gonna do that. They're gonna use another application instead. And then finally, we want to be able to scale it, right? So it could be like one dashboard doing loads of different queries and kind of aggregate and bringing everything together into one view, or it's maybe lots of users like concurrently doing it. But end result is lots of queries are coming in. We need to be able to handle those, and it can't affect those other two things either. So we need to be able to still be like doing lots of those concurrent queries while ingesting big amounts of data very quickly. So how do we go about building one of those? So these are, we kind of got around the outside some of the properties that you would have, and then in the middle we've got a couple of tools that can achieve this. So in this case, Pulsar and Pino. And so you can kind of see we want to achieve real-time ingestion. The data will often be like very wide, like lots of columns, lots of properties potentially nested, and then we've got to do something with it to figure out how we're going to get it into a structure that we can query it. And then, yeah, you can kind of see some of them. So we need to be able to, the data needs to be fresh. We want to do thousands of queries a second, and then the latency needs to be like OLTP style. So I'm going to hand the microphone back to Mary now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, Mark. So, okay, so now we're going to focus just a couple minutes on Apache Pulsar. So Pulsar, right? How many of you, actually, real quickly, have heard of Pulsar or working? Oh, working. Okay, cool. So some of you have. And then, of course, there are also folks using Kafka, too. But here I'm wanting to say, to tell you why we want to use Pulsar, right? So right now in here, too, for those of you who are new, and essentially to Pulsar, there are like a couple components to it, but primarily, too, there are brokers that are serverless Java runtime, right, and running. But it's very flexible, too. So for